Desire your prayers this morning that the word of the Lord will be anointed and blessed. I have a title that we want to work with is prepare. So I'm going to ask you what comes to your mind when I speak that word, prepare. Well, you know, we have seen billboards, not so much of late, but there have been, specifically out on Interstate 40 towards Arkansas, there was a very large billboard there at one time, and it says, prepare to meet God. And oftentimes, when a few years ago, we would see bumper stickers, and it would maybe say the same thing. And those words are so short, prepare to meet God, we can read them and they can pass through our mind and be gone. But you know, we need to have some of those words stick in our minds. So the statement is really to stir our mind and stir our hearts this morning. And in the past, we may say, oh, I've heard many, many messages down through my life like that. And yet, he wants to stir up our minds by way of remembering. Remembering where we are on life's way. The age, the stage of life. Time is not standing still. How many are feeling the fact that it's already October? And does it go so fast for you sometimes that you have to stop and think either what month it is or even what day it is? It does me. Time is rushing, and we are rushing to eternity. That's the truth of the matter is time is rushing to the end, and you and I are too. So the statement for us who, and I'm going to say who are informed and have, we've been taught, and it's partly through the preached word, but partly it's just been taught all of our life, the coming of the Lord, but it hasn't happened yet. I've told this to the congregation before, but I distinctly remember one of our nieces was spending the night at our house before our girls got married, and there was a loud noise, and our girls said it more in jest than not, oh, maybe this is the end of time. And our niece looked at her watch, and she said, my watch is still working. She had never heard that there was coming a day for the end of time. And I suppose that out there in the world today, there are people that certainly don't look for it. Amen. Maybe they think, as the scripture says, maybe they scoff at it, since the fathers fell asleep. We've heard this. And if I said that for you to raise your hand, every one of you would raise your hand. Oh, we've heard it. and it still has not come to pass. So there still is a judgment that is coming and eternity. I want to look at this word prepare and give some definitions for it. To prepare is to make ready beforehand. So what we need to prepare for the coming of the Lord or the end of time or the end of your life or my life, we need to be prepared. While there is time, while we are in this time world, we're still under mercy. And it's new every morning. The scripture says his mercy is new every morning. And his compassions fail not. And his will is the same today as it was yesterday or 1,000 years ago. And it will be the same if time goes on tomorrow. He's not willing for people to perish. But what is he willing for? He's willing for us to come to repentance. That's his will. When we say, speak the scriptures, he's not willing for any to perish. Do you know many people think no matter how you live, you're going to make heaven? But that is so contrary to the word of God. They must repent and be saved. They must believe in Jesus Christ as their Redeemer and their Savior, or they will not be saved. It's as simple as that. But you and I, we're informed. And we need to make ready beforehand. Another definition is it is also to be put in a proper state of mind. In other words, I need to have a mindset. I need to have a mind that is aware that time is moving on, that the Lord could come, that it's even possible that the fulfillment of God's word has been fulfilled. And yet, in his love and his mercy and his compassions, he's tarrying, he's waiting for those that will be saved. So, being prepared is also, as I used the word just a minute ago, of being informed or not being ignorant. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 11. And I'm going to paraphrase part of it. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. What does that have to do with our thought this morning? It has a lot to do with it. Because for one thing, the scripture tells us there are two choices. There are two masters. And it tells us that you can only serve one. And so you have to make a choice. Are you going to... Well, he also gave us another choice. He said, behold, and I quote this to the congregation so many times, don't be tired of it. Behold, I set before you this day life and death. And he says, I want you to choose life. So we make a choice. We choose. our destiny. Do you believe in a destiny? A destiny that is beyond this life? It's there. There's a choice for that. You know, so much of the Word of God is built on opposites. Good, evil, life, death, heaven, hell, light and darkness. We could go on, and so much is in here that it's all constructed, the foundation of why God allowed you and me to come into this world, and why He even came and set up this world. It was from the very beginning that He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it came out of darkness. And darkness has been in opposition to light ever since. When the sun goes down and it gets dark, it overtakes the light. That's in the literal scientific explanation. But yet Satan is full of darkness. And he is wanting to take over your light. He wants your light to be snuffed out or to grow dim. That's his job. That's his purpose. That's what he's trying to do to all of mankind today. And so this scripture says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, if you don't understand what Satan's purpose is in life, it's time we know. It needs to be opened up to us and revealed to us. And we need to understand the plan God has of you overcoming the evil. Of you and me knowing how. Not being ignorant of his devices. Of understanding what the word of the Lord says for me to do when Satan comes around. To know how to resist. To know how to denounce. God has a better way. And he says in another place, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have to believe it. When we have Christ in our life, when we have the experience of being forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness, the scripture says, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believe it. Believe it. Because then his spirit is in you, and his spirit can help us against the powers or the deception of Satan. There are several scriptures that will start out like this. We would not have you to be ignorant. That's why we need to be informed. We need the knowledge and understanding. And you know what? Every one of us is so busy with life. Do you ever get up in the morning and before you know it, it's time to go to bed again and you say, where did the day go? And maybe it's been full of good things, your job, life itself. Everything in life is not sin. And we can be so taken with life that we fail to remember I'm facing eternity. And it says, I don't want you to be ignorant. There's several verses that start that way. So he wants his people, God wants his people to have knowledge and to be prepared. And another statement that I read, I said, prepare yourself to not be shocked. Have things happened in the last, I'm not going to put a time frame on it, and you're shocked? And have you ever said, I wonder if I'll ever be shocked again? The things that are happening in the world, are you shocked by those things? Those of us that are older, you that are younger, came into this world with many of these things as norms. And you know, the scripture says that in these days, that it will be like saying good is evil, and evil is good, and light is dark, and darkness. The spirit of the world is trying to denounce,
yes, that's true,
what is truth,
that's true,
what is right, what is righteous, what is, and the enemy is there to pollute the mind and make you think, oh, that's not important.
Amen.
That's really not important. Have you ever had that thought? Well, I have been shocked in my lifetime over and over. I wish I knew how many of you have had been shocked at the conditions that have come into our world. And then when I say, I wonder if I'll ever be shocked again, and then I'm shocked again. And then I'm crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, how much worse can this be? You know, I have listened to some of the messages from the 1960s. Some of you may have also. Oh, to hear them preach in the 1960s as to how bad the world was and our society. And I lived then. And we believed it. We believed that what the scripture says, that men would wax worse and worse. That's what the word of God says. Is there a place in time itself and in the age we're living in where God's going to say, okay, nobody will get any worse than right here? It's not going to happen. Our world is going to be, oh, how negative that sounds, doesn't it? You need to be informed. You need to have knowledge. You need to understand what the word of the Lord says.
Amen.
I said in the message last Sunday, I was preaching on the cup and the cross. And I testified about going through a very, very, very hard place that I remembered exactly where I was standing back in the dining room when the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your cross. And how that it helped me. And I made the statement and I looked across the congregation, and as I said it, there were heads being in agreement. How it helped me to understand what my cross was. The Lord spoke to me and said, this is your cross. I testified that happened a number of years ago and how it helped me to be able to understand this is my cross to bear. And I sort of let that slip from my mind. And that morning, sitting right there, I was passing through a battle of my mind. Do you have any battles of your mind? And the Lord spoke it to me again. This. It was the same battle. This is your cross. I had forgotten it. Well, sometimes when we think the world can't get any worse, and it does, and we think, can it get any worse? And then we're shocked. So you need to prepare yourself to not be shocked. Oh, I don't think maybe I should have said it that way. I think maybe it's a good thing to be shocked. It makes us aware of what's happening in our world when we feel this shock. But there's another shock I want to talk to you about. And it's referred to as the judgment shock. At the end of all of this, there are verses that describe the second coming of the Lord. Oh, there are people that are not informed and do not have knowledge. And it will be a shock when the Lord comes. Amen. Many people think that God's just going to whisk all of his people away, and those that are wicked are going to be left behind. And do you know what the fallacy of that belief is? They think they're going to get a second chance. And yet, according to the word of the Lord, when he says time will be no more, it ends. And there is no second chances. And we need to be informed and have knowledge and believe it, because it is the word of the Lord. The judgment shock. Did you know what many scriptures say about the coming of the Lord? I'm going to give you a partial phrase that is found in different scriptures. The coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's how it's described. The coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And there were prophets even in the Old Testament that said it like this. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's how it's described. And Revelation 6 and 17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come. You know, his wrath is being held back right now by his compassion and his mercy, and he's extending time and opportunity. You know, when the scripture says his mercy is new every morning, that's for all of mankind. That's for the lost. That's for you and me that are saved. His Spirit wants to work with us and deal with us and search us. Doesn't he search you?
Yes.
Does he speak to you? Does he say, Maxine, you need to correct this? I made some confessions last time that I'm very careful on certain things affecting my life. I'm aware. I'm informed. Well, it goes on and it says, the great day of his wrath is come. His wrath is being held back by his compassion and mercy right now on the whole world. Can we glorify him for that?
Yes.
Yes. We can thank him and praise him and worship him. Because now what does the word say? Are there going to be how shall I say it? Will the majority of this world be lost?
Yes.
According to the word of the Lord. They will. That's truth. That's reality. It says many are called, only few, and I say have chosen, because we have a right to choose. Only few will make it. When he compares the age of his coming again to the days of Noah, Noah preached 120 years. How many people were saved? Now, you know, I like to believe that there were people that were saved that died before the flood. I have to believe that God did have some people that listened. But when it came down to the day, 8 souls were saved. I read, and it's hard for me to believe this, and I'm not sure exactly how they conclude what the population was at the time of the flood. But there's studies out there that say that the population on the earth at the time of the flood was the same as now. 8 billion people. How they know that, I don't know. It's hard for me to comprehend that. That's some of that information out there. Okay? I know it wasn't just a few. But only 8 souls were saved. Does that speak to us today? Should we be concerned? That I be one of the few? We need to be concerned that we are one of his chosen, his few. This verse says, for the great day of the Lord, of his wrath, is come. And then it says, who shall be able to stand? Now we're talking about the great day of the Lord. We have a songwriter that it always affects me. And I believe, I'm not sure if it's as effective today as it was when I was young. Because there were times, like in camp meeting, there would be people that would come to the camp meeting after the message and during the song service of invitation, and the conviction of the songs caused people to come to the altar and be saved. That is true. That happened in our lifetime. We witnessed it. It is not so much that way anymore. But this song is 409. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to the great judgment seat. And I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. To me, that's the most descriptive, beyond human comprehension of that moment when God says time will be no more. Time stops and eternity takes over. And he called it a crashing of ages. We can't hardly comprehend the sound. Can you comprehend the sound of that? There's a scripture, a song, number 355, and the title of it is He Comes. And the writer tries to describe the scene in the last verse of that song. And it should be impressive to us also, but you have to listen. Behold, what wonder greets mine eye. 10,000 angels in the sky. The writer had a real vision. The end has come. Destruction is nigh. He comes. He comes. Oh, fearful scene. Creation groans while loud above the trumpet's tones. What peals of joy, what piercing moans. Are you listening? Can you see the contrast? Who's going to be doing the peals of joy? The redeemed of the Lord. Who's going to be doing the piercing moans? He comes. He comes. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I'm just going to give you parts of the verse for the sake of time. Time's getting away. Beloved, be not ignorant of one thing. And I'm going to say it in my own words. Time doesn't mean the same to God as it does to us. That's in essence what the scripture says. I'm just wanting it to sink into your mind. What the scripture says there is about 1,000 years being as one day. I can't take that in. But I can accept the fact that God looks at time differently than I do. I wrote down here, I say, be informed. And then I'm using the scriptures from the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. I remember a few years ago the Lord gave me a message on the sounds of the end of time, and this was one of them. We have never heard a sound such as will be when Jesus comes again. The whole world, it will be a sound that is heard throughout the whole earth, and that's hard for us to comprehend. But the scripture says it. The heavens will pass away with a great noise and will melt with fervent heat and will be burned up. That's what the word of the Lord says concerning this earth that you and I live and know and experience. Verse 12 of that chapter, here's what it says, that you and I are to be looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Do you get up every day and say, I wonder if this is the day? Would it be good if we did? If we just made our minds aware that time is running out and that I might be one that will see the coming of the Lord? Is that a possibility? Looking for and hastening, desiring it, wanting it, maybe even praying for it. Verse 14, Wherefore, beloved, now here's an exhortation that we leave with you today. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you expect these things or look for these things, be diligent that ye be found in Christ. It says him. That's what it means. In peace. Without spot or blameless. I want to go over to the First Thessalonians. This scripture came to me as I was coming to service this morning. And I think it fits right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17 because it describes the coming of the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh my. Can you imagine the sound? With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The graves, their souls are not in that grave. But the scripture says they're going to rise first. And I have said, oh, I'd like to be in the cemetery when the Lord comes and see those that are rising. And it goes on and it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says, comfort one another with these thoughts. I had a song come to my mind, and Lauren and I have sang it here in different places. And it says, the title of the song is Just Any Day Now. And it speaks about looking around and seeing all the signs of his appearing. That song has been sung for many years. How much more real is it today? I look around and I see all of the signs of his appearing in every way. And the chorus says, just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. May not be able to finish that song, but though I've been watching and I've been waiting just any day now, thank you, Damon, his face I'll see. That's our little thought this morning. You might say, well, it's just another, the Lord's going to come again message. I believe the Lord wants us to be informed and prepared. Let us pray for each other, that we be able to meet him in peace. Pray for me.